is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Next up, the Love Crusade with Christina J. Let's bring her on to reintroduce herself, her show, and what's up for today.
Hi, how you doing?
Happy New Year.
You too. Happy New Year. I can't believe it already. Oh, my gosh. It's going by fast already. I'm excited for today's show. Can you hear me okay? Because I got a new headset on.
You're coming through fine.
Okay, wonderful. So, yeah, my name is Christina Green Jay, and this is the Love Crusade. And I always like to say this, that I am not actually Christina Green Jay. That is my name. I'm consciousness being this person. And for the Love Crusade, it's a show about really self-love, self-healing. It's a journey that we all take together. I share my journey with you, basically, and then you hopefully get something out of it and apply it to your journey. But I start my show every week with a song or a couple of songs. And this week, I'm actually going to play a couple of songs and even talk about a couple more. So maybe four altogether, but only playing really two of them. And I love music because music has a certain vibration, a certain beat. It speaks directly to your soul. There's one thing that transcends our minds, I think, and it's music, and it speaks directly to us where our heart is. And it can get messages across so much easier sometimes than speaking or conversations. It can get certain concepts. It can open your heart. So I love music.
Did you get our email, Christina, about the songs?
No, I did not.
Okay, we sent it a couple times because you can only do like a few seconds of the songs for copyright issues, and they're not coming through the microphone anyway.
Okay, then they're not coming through at all, or just a little, or vaguely, or?
Not really at all, no.
Okay, so I will play them just briefly then, just the intro, see if I can get any sound to it, and from there I'll just talk about them more.
Okay.
Sounds like a good plan. Thank you for telling me that. Yeah, so this week, the first song I did want to start with is the Jackson 5, ABC. It's one that everyone knows. If you don't know this song, you just haven't been listening to music. So I'll try to play some of it. We'll see what happens. And then I won't play as much as I planned on then, and then I'll just talk about it. So the Jackson 5, ABC. Everyone knows it's that. Sorry about that. With that new information, I just will go ahead and talk about the songs more. So ABC by the Jackson 5. First, I'll start off by saying they are one of the many, many talented Motown musicians. And it's been a long time coming. I don't know how many shows I've done now. I actually need to look. But I've never done a real Motown song, I don't believe. I think I've played did I play Marvin Gaye? I'm not sure. But Motown, it's so funny. So I have this Life magazine article, and it just caught my eye. And there's one, I guess, opening comment that was made by an editor, Keith Murphy, and he said, changing the nation one song at a time, this is Motown, by aiming to sell music to the widest audience possible, Motown achieved what civil rights activists were marching for in the streets. The record company broke down barriers and brought blacks and whites together. And the owner, or I guess the, not the owner, it's the wrong word, the establisher, founder of Motown, I believe is Berry Gordy Jr., and I think that he'd be proud of a statement like that. And so I thought it was about time that I played a Motown song. And now this is not my generation, which is kind of why I don't tend to gravitate towards it, but yeah, my parents played this. I mean, all of us know Motown music. So ABC is one of the Motown artists. And to me, especially being biracial, anything that brings unity, especially music, I welcome all the time. And remember that no two of us are alike. That's why music's so important, because we're all so different and individualized. We all have different experiences based on where we grew up, our ethnicity, our culture, you know, the experiences that we've had, where we've lived. Everything around us impacts us and makes us us. That's why we're so individualized. We are. So music speaks to so many of us being so different. That's why I love music. All right, so ABC, what does it say and what is the topic for this week is what I should say. The topic for this week is, what is love? What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. That song just comes to my head because it's the same wording. So what is love? But my point, I think, with this week is to really dive into the meaning of love, true love versus fake love, how we perceive love, how we want love, the lack of love in our life, how we seek love, all of that. I think it's a great topic. It can be looked at in so many different ways, and that's the topic for this week. So, Jackson 5, ABC. It says, you went to school to learn, girl, you never knew before. Like I before E, except after C, and 2 + 2 = 4. But then it says, I'm going to teach you about love, though, right? Sit down, take a seat. All you got to do is repeat after me. And it just starts to say A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, do, re, mi. Let me see. Come on, love and let me just a little bit. I'm going to teach you how to sing it out. Come on, let me show you what it's all about. Let me see what else he says here. But I just like the song because it's so true. We learn about so many things in our life, but do we really ever examine love and learn about love? I think what we know about love is what we see and experience, right? But what if none of us have ever truly felt true love in our lives, so therefore we don't have anything to go on? You know, the idea of love to us is not a pleasant topic because our experience with love has not been good. I mean, I find this with so many people. I know a lot of spiritual people and spiritual practices, including myself, I'll say things like, just choose love. Well, you know, someone who has always been hurt by love or has never actually had real love in their life may look at you like, well, what does that mean? Just choose love. Well, it means I choose this again and get hurt again and do this again. No, thank you. So that's why this is a great topic this week. All right. So next song that I actually can't really play, but I will at least just do the intro. The one I picked next was, let's see, yeah, To Be Loved by Lizzo. I think this song is so cute. It's so right on time for me. So it's probably on time for many people. And I'll just see if I can just play the intro at least. To Be Loved by Lizzo.
I'm about to have a panic attack. I did the work, it didn't work. That Tuesday hurt, that didn't hurt.
Jesus, Linda.
Was not a fan of it. I'm good with my friends, I don't want a man. I'm in my bed, I'm too fine to be here alone. On the other hand, I know my worth. And now he calling me, why do I feel like this? What happened to me?
Of course, I'm not so long. All right, if we check, I will pause it. I will not play the whole song. But yeah, that song is so cute. And the video makes me laugh because the video actually shows her running away from the altar. Now, I've been married and divorced, and my marriage was long, and it was many, many wonderful years of marriage. So I did get married, but I can relate to her idea of like fearing commitment and fearing going after love, especially for me, again, you know, it is scary. It can be scary. But her song, I like because it talks about the following. She says she did the work, but it didn't work. And that's something I'm going to talk about this week, is that healing is such an important part of our journey, healing our hearts, right? So many of us have hearts that have been hardened, meaning protected, meaning that we don't like to feel because it hurts too much. So we're bitter, condescending, maybe detached, don't have emotional feelings, always like, you know, have the attitude of kind of like, whatever, yeah, okay. Don't ever let anyone get too close. I mean, these are all phases we go through, but when you've been hurt by love, this is kind of the stance that you take, right? Your heart gets hard. And it's so funny because I used to have people say to me during my divorce things, and during other times in life, they'd say, oh, you're so strong. And I used to look at them and say, well, not really. And then they would say, yes, you are. And I'm like, well, it's because I have to be, you know? So when you have those moments in life where things aren't going your way and you have to dig deep and you become a strong, quote-unquote strong person, it's basically like you're hardening yourself. You know, you're putting up your walls so that you can get through whatever it is you're trying to get through. But really, I believe that all of us want to take those walls down, and we want to be tender. We want to be nourished. We want to feel soft. I know I kept using that expression after my divorce. I was like, I just want to not be hard anymore. I don't want to be so rough and aggressive. I want to be calm. I want to feel soft and, you know, all that girly, lacy stuff and just feel feminine again. I don't want to feel so assertive and aggressive. I didn't like that part of me. It works sometimes, and sometimes I need to, but I wanted to put my guard down. And so that's why I like her song, because she talks about it hurts. The lovey-dovey stuff, I'm not a fan of it. You know, she's so fine. She doesn't want to be alone. We can all relate to those moments, ladies, yeah, and guys too. But then she just says, am I ready? Am I ready? Am I ready? You're going to figure it out. What are you talking about? To be loved. Because I want it, you know. That's what I'm talking about. Am I ready? Are you going to figure it out? Am I ready to be loved? So I love this because I think that's the bottom line. Because all of us want love. We just have to figure it out. We're not sure how to accept love sometimes. We're not sure what love actually is because it never seems to work out. We don't know if we love ourselves. I think that's step one. So when I watch her video, I laugh because I do believe that's what she's kind of saying, is that she falls into a pattern of suddenly loving herself, and that has to come first before you can truly feel love or love somebody else. Let me see what else she says. Oh. Let's see. You found me and I was fed up. What you want to do? I think I'm ready. You found me. I don't know. Look, let me see what this is. Yeah, but I think that's the most important stuff. But I do. I love her chorus. I love her song. I think it's such an on-time song. That's the stage of life that I'm in. I know I am. Where I'm healing, growing up, finding out who the me at age 50 is. Who is this woman? You know, everything I've been through, everything that has defined me my entire life. Who am I now? You know, how is that going to affect me? How am I looking at myself? How am I taking all of that, repackaging it, you know, with a lot of love and letting myself love again? So that's Lizzo. All right, because the topic is, what is love? Next song. Two songs. I'm actually not going to play anything from them, but a couple of other songs that came to mind. And again, every week I just pick a few songs. I apologize for not picking maybe a wider range or other music. There is so much music out there, and I appreciate so many artists. So this is just me with probably my short list of songs, just playing what I'm listening to right now. And that's just who I am. That's it. Just me. Doesn't speak for anyone else. All right, so I played Jackson 5. I played Lizzo. Oh, BTS. My daughter loves this group. Fake Love. They have a song called Fake Love. And the chorus talks about, what exactly does it say? I'm trying to remember. I don't know, but this is fake love, fake love. I don't like fake love. I should know this. I'm so sorry. But I love the idea that they actually bring up the fact of, you know, what is love? Because they said they're so sick of fake love. That's what they say. They're so sick of this fake love. And I can relate to that. I know you guys can relate to fake love, right? Fake love feels like that catty stuff. the stuff where people are just being nice to you because they want something or nice to you for a reason. It's not for who you are. It's not true. It's acquaintances. It's not friends. And cordial stuff and being nice is awesome. But we all desire that true love. You know, the fake love is exhausting. We can find that anywhere. You can have fake love from your neighbor, from a stranger in the store. I mean, but true love, I mean, that's what we're all looking for. So that's BTS. And then Mariah. I got two songs for Mariah. She sings a song, Fantasy, right? It's a sweet fantasy. We all have those fantasy love ideas, right? So these are different versions of love, the fantasy love. But then another couple of artists, like Bob Marley, sings Could You Be Loved? Of course, Whitney again, The Greatest Love of All, which happens to talk about self-love is when you love yourself. And then Mariah's Hero. So this song, everyone loves. It's like an anthem. So I'm going to play a little bit of it, if I can get a little bit on, just to get the feel. And then I'll talk a little bit more about her song. Hero. Oh my gosh, we all know this song. I think every single person who's ever listened to all of this song ends up teary-eyed. And this song always hits me because I'll sing the chorus. Well, let's say, so there's a hero. If you look inside your heart, you don't have to be afraid of what you are. There's an answer if you reach into your soul, and the sorrow that you know will melt away. And a hero comes along with the strength to carry on. You cast your fears aside. You know that you can survive. And when you feel like hope is gone, look inside yourself and be strong. And you finally see the truth that there's a hero in you. This song goes on and on, and the words always give me goosebumps. I just got goosebumps. But the thing about this song that I love is that it's speaking to every single one of us. Her point is that all of us are heroes. At the end of the day, when you have to get through something, it is you. And then I also believe it is our faith in God and faith in a higher source. That's going to get you through everything. But when you dig deep inside, all of us can be our own hero. I mean, we truly are our own heroes. It's soul work. It's digging deeper than just the surface. Let's see if there's some more in here that I can talk about in her song. That's okay. I think that's enough. And I know that probably everyone's heard that song. So yes, that's my list for this week. Plenty of songs, plenty of good stuff. Take a listen when you have a chance. I have a new respect for lyrics. I mean, so many times we listen to songs and we like the beat, but I've learned more and more now that I give these folks credit for their lyrics. They are incredible. And some of them are so soul moving. That's why we like the song, not just the beat. It's the message of what they say. All right, so carrying on. I had this quote come up because we are talking about what is love, right? And just a little bit more about my show, actually, before I get started. So, you know, this is the Love Crusade, and I do talk a lot about spirituality. Anything having to do with spirituality, conscious living, anything that I can share with you from my spiritual journey, my awakening journey that allows you to apply it to your life, to live a better life, a more aware life, a more conscious life, and to get closer to your own heart. You know, closer to the essence of who you are, to your own truth, because all of us have our own truth. None of us are alike. I can't stress that enough. We are all so different but the same. You know, we all have to respect our differences because we all have our own story. We all have our own preferences, our own likes and dislikes. We all have our own environment. Like I said, all these different factors that have made you you and that have made me me up until this very single moment belong to you. So own them. It's okay. Own them. It's your story. Stories are made to be changed, updated, shifted, whatever you want, or to be cherished. But all of us are different. And I love stressing that because some people get threatened by differences. And I think that's so silly because, you know, you have to love all of who you are. And different is okay because none of us are the same. We're all like, you know, like the snowflakes. I like making analogies to things. Snowflakes, none of them are the same. They're all completely different colors in a crayon box or the colors of the rainbow. All different, but yet they all have a purpose. So, yeah, we're all special. We all are enough. We all are here for a reason, and our reason doesn't have to be the same as someone else's. You know, we all serve a purpose of adding to the beauty of life, and I value every single person, being, living thing on this planet, absolutely, and in the universe. Much respect. All right, so moving on, because I actually have a lot to talk about. So I came across this because true love, you know, what is love? What is true love versus fake love? There's so many definitions and ways of looking at love. And like I said, you tell someone, oh, just choose love over fear. And they're looking at you like, well, to me, love is fear. So I always thought, I was like, you know, let's talk about love because it's just almost like a not fair statement. How many of us have said that we've had the perfect love in our life? And I'm sure most of us will say no. We're always still searching for that. But the one thing I have learned is that perfect love is really hard to find in people. You have to find it in yourself. And within yourself means your connection to God, whoever you believe is your source, and with yourself, your own soul. It's that deep connection that is your true love. And then after that, you can apply love to other people, to other beings, to plants, animals, whatever it is that you love. All right, so one thing about love is that all of us receive it and see it differently, right? So many definitions and so many ways of wanting love, I guess. And I remember even in my marriage, we talked about, my ex-husband and I talked about the five love languages. And there's different ways of looking at love. And so love languages are what works for me, because we're all individual, right? What works for me and makes my heart sing? What makes me go, oh, thank you. Thank you very much for doing that. Some people like, let me give this author credit, Gary Chapman wrote the five love languages. Some people like affirmations. They like to be told affirmative things about themselves. Some people like physical touch. Some people love quality time with people. Some people love gifts, and some people just like acts of service. Now me, after looking at these, I said to myself, I like all of them. So not that I'm being greedy, but hey, let's just be honest. I think we all like all of that list. So here's another question. Can you give that list to yourself? You know, lots of times in relationships, including myself, I sat around and gave myself some of that, but would sit around waiting to receive that from my spouse. Like, you know, where's my quality time, or where's my physical touch, or he didn't say anything positive to me today. Like, all these things are important in our lives, but we have to get to the point where we're not looking for someone else to make them work for us, that we can actually do this for ourselves. And then when our spouse does it, or when someone else does it in our lives, it's like this huge bonus. Like, we're blessed. We're like, you're like, oh, thank you. Like, I didn't need it, but I accept it, and it's awesome. So that's where I'm trying to get with my life. I'm trying to get to a place where I'm independently, unconditionally self-loving. Probably going to be my goal until the day I die. So it's a big goal, always working on it. But the more I tend to it, the more my heart opens, the more soft my heart gets, and the closer I get to being able to be in a loving relationship again and be able to define and understand what true love is, you know? And I had some great, great love with my former husband. As I said that, I said to myself, well, I don't want to discredit what I had. But he and I both, I'm sure, would admit, I'll speak for myself, that I'm not the person I was when I got married when I was 30 or in my 30s. I'm not the person I was when I met him in my 20s. We've all matured and grown and changed and evolved because of our life experiences and so on and so forth. So it's interesting to say that our idea of love most likely has also evolved. And I think that he would agree with me on that one probably. So that's what I mean about at this point in my life right now, what does love look like to me? I saw this quote and I thought this was good to add today. It said, a man's heart away from nature becomes hard. And this is a Luther Standing Bear. It's a Native American, most likely indigenous person, individual. And I agree with that. You know, there's something magical about nature, whether it's trees. You know, the earth has this thing where it grounds us. It's soothing to us. It reduces anxiety. It makes you more aware of the present moment. There's electricity in our bodies, right? Electricity from the earth. So the earth grounds you, quote unquote, grounds you, or they call it earthing, which means that we have a lot of positive ions and electrons. And when we touch the earth actually has more negative. So that's called grounding. And if I'm not saying that correctly, I apologize. Someone who's really into being an electrician and stuff probably knows better. But it's something like that. So the earth does this, and you can feel it. When you walk through nature and you get away from computers, technology, all of the currents that are around you, all the whatever, the energy that's around you with technology, you definitely feel the difference when you're in nature. Nature gives you this softer vibration, and it really helps to calm your soul. It does. So for those who never get into nature, please try to. If you live somewhere where you can't get into nature, guess what? Go buy some plants for your house. It made a huge difference for me. I started buying live potted plants and putting them in my home. Never cared about it before until I got older. And it makes a difference. You can feel the grounding from these plants. It's amazing. I love it. They're in my bedroom, the kitchen, wherever. But put some plants, especially in your bedroom when you sleep, or wherever you have technology. It helps to balance the energy in there. So love grounding. And believe it or not, it helps your heart to soften. It does. All right, so other things that I've learned about making my heart softer after being hurt, understanding what my definition of love is and what true love is to me. Because when you think about love, you're like, is it romance? Again, we went through the five love languages. Is it acts and kindness? Is it a state of being? You know, what is love? It's energy. I know that. But let's talk about ways of being love, I guess, and other people being love. Now I'm going to take a sip of water. So self-acceptance, number one. I'm still working on that. Self-acceptance of self and then others. It's that unconditional love for you. No judgment to yourself, no matter what. Now that's hard because I am always looking at myself saying, like what can I fix today? Not loving this, but I'll do better tomorrow. But as I've gotten older, I've gotten so much better at just letting things go and just saying, this is who I am. Take it or leave it. If you don't like it, that means it wasn't meant for you. I wasn't meant to be your friend, or I wasn't meant to be with you or whatever. And, of course, having a teenage daughter, it's so funny because she's actually very mature. She's very non-judgmental. But kids who are teenagers usually don't dig it when their 50-year-old moms don't look put together or I just kind of like, whatever, I don't care what they think, because the 15-year-old teenager is like, oh, well, I do care what they think, so get it together, Mom. But, yeah, so something else I've learned is that judgment. You know, I've had judgment about myself so much in my life, always wanting to be better, to do better, always striving. That's not a bad thing, but to criticize it, to not accept where you currently are, is a challenge. You know, it makes things difficult. It means that you're not accepting yourself. So you kind of have to switch it from judgment, because judgment is a situation where you're really having an opinion about something. And usually it's, well, it can be good or bad, but the opinion means that you're not really accepting what is. And there's a poem by Mother Teresa, or a saying that says, if you judge someone, that means you're not leaving room to love them, because judgment and love are two different energies, and they cannot occupy the same space. They're almost like opposites, I guess. They're not completely opposites, but they're different energy. So you cannot love someone and judge them at the same time. So if you say, like, I love you, that means you're not going to judge them. And if you even say that to yourself, if you say, you know, judgment and love, you almost can feel the difference even just by saying the words. So keep that in mind. If you're judging someone, it means that you're not loving them, and that means yourself as well. Other things that I've looked at in my life, and all of this is just contemplation, things to think about that will help you understand love and loving yourself and loving others. the difference between envy, jealousy, and admiration. Very small differences, but huge in vibration. So we all have seen these people, right, that we wish we could be more like, or that we wish we had their stuff, or why did they have that great experience, or how come it didn't go well for me but it went well for them. So we all have been there. We all see these folks that I will call it admire. Well, I always didn't see it as admiration. I mean, lots of times I did, but there are many moments when I was younger, especially, that I would say, oh, I was jealous, or I was envious, and now I'm mature enough to say I admire that. So what's the difference? Jealousy is a state where, like, you're almost downing them. You're almost wishing they didn't so you could. You're wondering why them and not me. Jealousy is almost believing that there's not enough for you, that it's a competition, right, and that there's not enough. So if you're competing, it's almost like you end up becoming the separation there, the separation in a feeling of versus somebody. And that is that feeling of jealousy, right? Like, oh, they've got that. I want it. But if I want it, it's almost like they can't have it. So it's a weird feeling. Jealousy is a weird state of being, not something that you want to be in, put it that way. Not a good feeling at all. But when you take jealousy and you can shift your understanding of it a little bit more, you can shift it to envy. So when you're envious of somebody, the story in your head is a little bit different. You narrate it differently. So now you're saying, well, I like what they're doing. I like what they have. I think I would want that as well. See how that shifted? So instead of saying, I want it, why them, you're allowing them to have what they have because that's their right. You know, they got it, good for them, that's their right. But what you're doing is you're acknowledging to yourself that that feeling of jealousy you may feel is actually envy. And envy just means that you're realizing that's something that you want to. And this is part of my maturity that I've learned all these different things. It helps so much. Just shifting your narrative and your understanding and stuff helps a lot. And then you get to the point where you admire. So someone has something that you would like to attain for yourself or obtain for yourself. Now you admire them. You know, good for them. That's great. Now you may even ask them how they did it because you too may want to do that and there's no negative feelings there. You know, it's accepting and accepting that you too can be in that position. So I love this scale of going from envy, from jealousy to envy to admiration, you know, and forget judgment. All right, so that's good. And what does that have to do with love? Well, I think it has to do with feelings and feelings towards people. We can be envious and jealous of our partners, you know. We can shift that to admiration of the things that we like in our partner rather than feeling annoyed or envious. And I even wrote down annoyance. Like, what is annoyance? Annoyance is, I don't know, something that is getting your attention. That's what it is. And annoyance can be impatience, you know, but why is it getting your attention? Why is something annoying you? It means that, one, it triggered you for some reason. So it means that something in you is bothered by that. It doesn't mean that it's actually the person. They're just doing what they do. And you have a choice how you're going to react to it. That's the only thing you have a choice about, right? Because you cannot control people. You can only control you. So when someone's annoying you, you're either triggered because something in your past has triggered you. It reminded you of something. It reminded you of a pattern or another person, another incident. Or there's something about you that you need to look at. Why did this annoy you? So that's just a little tidbit. So again, different things to contemplate that help you evolve and become a better you, a more loving you, especially more loving to yourself. That's the goal. And then when you love yourself, you can love others. All right, excuse me. I need more water. All right. I'm looking at my notes here. Forgiveness. It has to do with love. It definitely does. It's another reason why our hearts get hardened. None of us want to have a hard heart and be really hard. We just don't. If you do, I think you're lying because I know I'm lying. I say I do. I like to be strong. I'm tough. Nothing bothers me. I can get through it. But honestly, it's exhausting. Sometimes I just want to sit down and say, yeah, I want to be soft and delicate and somebody hold me. I do. You know, and we all deserve to have that, men and women, anyone. Forgiveness. So forgiving ourselves and forgiving others. So here's something to think about. When you are truly responsible for yourself in all ways, when you take true responsibility for everything about you and never blame anyone else for anything, there's something weird that happens, is that if nothing is ever anyone else's fault in its true essence, because we always have a choice of how we will respond, they're going to be them, and you're going to have a choice as to what you contributed to it. I'm stretching it a little bit, but truly, you could be in a position where you never blame anyone else for anything. And if that's the case, that means no one ever has to be forgiven, right? Because everything is ultimately your responsibility. Really big. I'm not there yet. I work on that. I know the concept. I'm understanding it. But to live it is always so different. Living takes time, takes implementation, takes change, takes consistency and discipline. So I'm always working on that. Forgiveness of oneself is one thing that I realized, is that so many times in life, it's that victim stage where I know I have given my power away. And what does that look like? That looks like I didn't want him to do that, or I did this, but I wish I didn't. How come this happened? Like all of those little phrases that we say where we are blaming someone else for something that we decided, or that we're blaming someone else for us not doing something or doing something. It's those moments when we are not taking responsibility that we actually have a choice. You know, so many times you want to blame someone for making you feel bad, for taking the last cookie. I'm just saying anything I can think of. It sounds stupid, but for pulling into your parking spot, we'll go find the next one. No big deal. They pulled in there. I mean, anything. But I lost my train of thought. But forgiveness, giving away your power. But when you give away your power, you're trying to blame people for things. And so often we do that. We give away our power and we want to have someone else be responsible for something when it's really truly our responsibility. We have so many decisions and ways that we can react to things and all these different things that we can do. So just keep that in mind, that forgiveness is something that's needed. You don't want to carry that energy with you, and you want to forgive yourself for giving away your power in your own life, right? Because you always have choice. You have responsibility to yourself. Neutrality, the word neutrality. Let's see. I think the ultimate love is to set yourself free. I don't know why I wrote that. And neutrality, right? Allowing something to happen without opinion, without resentment, without force. Some sort of neutrality in letting people be free is a wonderful way to love somebody. Because what's that saying? Let somebody free. If they're meant to come back to you, they will. I just think neutrality in a relationship and allowing someone to be them with no demands, allowing them to be free who they are, is the most beautiful love there is, because that means you can allow yourself that as well. Control. The only person you control is yourself. And that's one of those basic things, but how often do we forget that? We're in a situation and we're trying so hard to maneuver around and manipulate and get people to do things we want, and we want them to do it our way. We want them to like what we like. You know, it's force. It's force, manipulation, coercion, whatever you want to call it, but don't bother. Use your power for you. Use your energy for you to change you and make you a better you. If you don't like something, maneuver around it. You know, suggest a change. But the only power you have is to change what you're doing. Okay, that's where you start. And then you have power, through influence, through inspiration, through acts of changing things, but never by force. Never by forcing someone else to change what they're doing or change them. That's kind of cowardice, right? I think that comes from a place of fear, when you need to force others and change others from who they are. Allow people to be them. I mean, allow the people in your life to be exactly who they are, and they will do that for you, hopefully, in return. But if not, you know, grant yourself that. They don't have to. The Serenity Prayer I'm going to read, and it's altered a little bit from the regular prayer. And it says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the people that I cannot change. You know, give me the courage to change the one that I can. And then give me the wisdom to understand and to know that it's me, right? Ultimate responsibility is being in control of yourself, pretty much. Ultimate responsibility. All right. Moving on. Am I running out of time? This is a lot. Ooh, I am. All right. The most important things. You know, it takes courage to love and to let your guard down. And there's something about faith versus hope. You know, I read somewhere that hope is the beggar of the soul because the soul knows it doesn't have to hope. And that's a slight difference. So as you're maturing in spirituality, in your faith in yourself, in your, you know, your faith and trust in your own self, as you do that in life, you will begin to trust your own soul to make decisions. And that's more of a faith, not a hope. Other things. The ABCs, it's funny, in my book, The Conscious Divorce, 30 Principles to Help You Choose Yourself, it's not just a book about divorce, it's about choosing differently. You know, divorce is a change. So and any changes in your life, it helps you a lot. I have the ABCs of decision making. And those ABCs are, it's a section in here, awareness of things you want to change in your life, right? The B is belief. Look at what you believe. Are you believing things that are true? You know, what do you believe about what you're looking at? What is changing you? What is stopping you from maybe changing your beliefs? Is there more information you need? So beliefs are important. You know, awareness of a situation, your beliefs about that situation, but make sure you have all the information you need. And then the C is choices. You know, do you need more time to decide what you're doing? Do you need more contemplation about what you're doing? Do you need more information? Choices are everything, because then your choices will dictate the actions you take. Nelson Mandela said, may your choices reflect your hopes and not your fears. I think it's a beautiful statement. And so many times in life, I will make decisions that I can feel are fear-based, right, because they have force and they just feel negative. But when you make a decision from hope, it just feels so much lighter. Or even when you go to faith, it feels so powerful to make a faith-based decision on the power of your soul and believing that you will know what is needed to be done, because either you will know it from your soul, God will tell you what it is, your source will tell you what it is. That's a better way to live than with fear. All right, a couple more things to plug in here about us diving into this topic of love. What is love? One of my big things. More self-care for myself, you know, balance. Look in the mirror and admire who you are right here and right now. Every part of you, you know, the cellulite, the wrinkles, the gray hair, maybe you're perfect, maybe you're in shape, good for you. Admire that, you know. Admire everything about you because everything you've been through in your life has made you who you are right now. So be aware of that. Acknowledge it. It's okay. Accept it. Because when you accept who you are, then you can change who you are. And it doesn't mean you have to change. But I'm guaranteeing most of us have things about ourselves that we want to change. And it's not until you actually look at yourself with honesty, accept who you are, your history, your past, your parents, your friends, your situations, your pain, your pleasure, everything that's made you you, accept it because you can't change it. Then the forgiveness kicks in, right? Time to forgive some of this stuff. Let it go, because if you don't let it go and forgive, you cannot allow yourself to figure out what you need now to become the person that you want to be. This is like the process of evolving. And some of this I may have touched on previous weeks, but this is the flow of this week, and I just want to go with it. So yeah, I love that part of the courage to look at yourself truthfully, to look at yourself and allow your own self-love to grow only by looking at yourself truthfully, with awareness, with acknowledgement, with accepting yourself, with knowing what you want to change, allowing those changes to happen, right? And then anticipation of what's to come, expectations, intentions, they matter. You need some sort of vision to drive you towards that future you. So envision who that future you is, and then you start to move towards that. These are all the things that I'm trying to do. And it's a perfect tool for the new year, right? I think so. So I can't believe I went through everything. I skipped a few things, but let's see how much time we have here. A little bit more. Okay. So, yeah, it's funny. The book I wrote, The Conscious Divorce, like I said, it's a book. It was about divorce, but it ended up coming out as sort of like a universal philosophy that I found within me after going through everything I went through. And so I definitely recommend it for not even divorce, just for growing. I mean, I look at this sometimes and I apply it to different, you know, places in my life. And I'm like, wow, this actually was pretty helpful. But I start laughing. I'm like, okay, well, good job. I'm glad I still need it because I'm not there yet. I'm trying, you know. And I will talk about one other statement that I love. It's a good way to end the show this week, is this statement of the golden rule. And I think I may have talked about it last week. I'm not sure, but it's worth mentioning every single week because I always say to myself, what's the one thing I can carry with myself? The one thing, the one tool, if I had to pick one. Well, there's two of them. One statement I've pulled out many times is, what would love do? It's helped me many, many times. No matter what I'm doing, no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm facing, when I challenge myself and I say to myself, what would love do? I go, ugh, because I know I'm doing the wrong thing, right? It's such an easy way to test yourself. And by using the word love and asking yourself, you actually soften yourself instantly. Because I'll go from aggressiveness to taking that deep breath and backing down a little bit, because love wouldn't be aggressive. Love wouldn't do that. You know, what would love do? So that's one tool that I love. And the other one is the golden rule. Do to others what you would want done to you. And that works every single time. And I can't tell you how many times I've asked myself that and said, gosh darn it, I don't want this done to myself. And it checks me over and over and over again for the littlest and the biggest things. You know, do unto others as you want done unto you. It would be the most precious rule if we all could use it. I mean, so many things would just fall to the wayside, and we wouldn't have all this crap to deal with that we deal with all the time, right? We wouldn't have hate and separation and fear and, I don't know, just prejudgment. We wouldn't have this inability to unite with people because we would lose our fear of not knowing, our fear of not understanding something different. There's so many things that would be solved if we just, period, treated others as we want to be treated. And I love that statement. So that's one of my favorite statements, that and what would love do. And I'll end it with the flag I have in the front of my house. Well, it's actually not like a flag, but it's a statement by Martin Luther King Jr. And he talks about that darkness cannot conquer darkness. Only light can do that. That hate cannot conquer hate. Only love can do that. And I love that statement. You know, anything to do with love and light, I'm all over it. It works. That's just true. It works. And your faith and your hope and your trust in your own soul and God, it goes a long way. It's pulled me out of many, many ditches. It's helped me pull myself up again many, many times over and over and over again. You know, all of us need that moment where we're vulnerable and I break down and cry. But then half an hour later or 2 days later, there's always that moment where I get up again. And it's because I have hope and faith and love in myself and humanity and God. And it always gets me through no matter what. So I hope this week helped you. That's kind of the way I attack love. I look at it from all those different ways. And when I know I can love myself and I feel my own love for myself, like real love, acceptance, I start to feel how I start giving that to other people again. You know, because if I don't have it for myself, it's very, very hard to truly give that to anybody because you don't have it. You can't have what you don't give. Sorry, I said that backwards. You can't give what you don't have. So you must have love for yourself so that you can be part of this love crusade and start sharing love with others. You know, I'm working on it. I hope you're working on it too. Let's see. I spoke faster than I thought. Let me get one more sip of water and maybe I'll end with another quote or something from my book. All right. One thing I will say is that all of this takes baby steps. Sometimes I'll say things and say, oh, here's the tools. Trust me, I work on something sometimes for years. And I fail and fail and fail, then all of a sudden I have a breakthrough. And a good tool to use is affirmations. I use sticky notes, and what I want to be, I put on a sticky note. In other words, like if I want to be more loving or if I want to focus on doing something, I actually put the positive affirmation on a sticky note and I put it somewhere. And when I finally embody that, I actually get rid of the sticky note because that means I don't need it anymore. So I know for me, if I have sayings around my house, if I have something I have to put up on my refrigerator, it's because I still need to remind myself, and they work. It's like a self-brainwashing, but, you know, in a good way. So you're trying to recondition your mind, your habits, and you have to see something sometimes over and over and over again. until you finally embody it. And when you do, you'll know when that moment comes. And then you'll throw it away. And then you'll put something else positive up there, all in an effort to make you a better you, you know? So that's another helpful tool. Let's see if I got one more quote to share with you here. Oh, that's the golden rule quote. Here's another one. It's almost the golden rule in reverse, and I kind of like it because I love reversing things. I like looking at things from all angles because it helps, because we all are different. So you have to look at a certain situation. You have to look at anything from the view of many different angles because we're all so different. So this says, instead of, you know, treat others how you want to be treated, this says the way that we do treat people is a statement about yourself. So the way people and the way people treat you is a statement about them. It's not a statement about you. So many times we take things so personal, right? He said this, she said that, they did this, I know I do. And as I've matured, I've realized I've been less sensitive to that only because I realize it's all about them. It's about their own pain. It's about their own hurt. It's about things they need to work on in themselves. And sometimes, a lot of times, including myself, you'll take pain and hurt and wrap it up and you'll find someone to put it on, small and big. You know, whether it's traffic, someone in a store, your family members, or in big ways, we have a very easy ability to wrap up our pain and anger and stick it to somebody. It's a common human thing. It's so being emotional, you know, but let's use some emotional intelligence and dig deeper and realize that our actions are telling us about ourselves. So what am I doing and what is it telling me about me? I think that's profound. Like I said, all the stuff I've learned, I'm 50. I think most of these things I've just implemented into my life in the past 5 years. So it's never too late to change. It's never too late to become more, to become, I guess, a better version of yourself always, right, until the day we're done. I'd say that's the goal. And much love to you folks. Much, much love. And I think that's the end of the segment for this week with 5 minutes left to the hour. Nicole is available. So the next episode is not next Wednesday, the Wednesday after. I'm seeing if I can get a calendar really quickly. I don't see my calendar. Oh, yeah, I said, here's my calendar. So my next episode will be, let's see, January. My calendar's not working right. Okay, the 18th, January 18th. Have you on? If not, you can listen to this archived always. And always a pleasure. I appreciate News for the Soul and Nicole and the platform and the audience. So happy New Year. And, you know, reach for the better you this year in acceptance. First, accept who you are. Love yourself, you know. And then change what you want to change. It's up to you. It's your choice. It's your choice and it's also your work. That's the beauty about it. You own it. Either way, we all are responsible for ourselves. So I'm done. Is Nicole available? I'm tired. You can tell my voice is dwindling down. Let me see. I'll see if I have another quote here. Another quote from my book. And I'll wait for Nicole to get on. Oh, this is cute. I just opened up to it, so I'll read it. You will always have everything that you will ever need inside of you. So in situations of loss, in situations of feeling neglected or you don't have enough around you, truly the value of you is what's inside of you. Just don't forget that. That's where your gold is. It's the inside of you, your soul. It's that you matter and you're enough. It has nothing to do with what's around you. So that's that. All right. Nicole. I'm just making sure I'm still on. Yes, I am still on. I'll just keep going until she tells me to stop. And just remember that love is an energy, right? The more positive energy we give to ourselves, to others, to the universe, the more positive energy we are contributing to everything. So it does matter what we do. It matters what we say. It matters how we act. And we're not always contributing positive energy. I know that, but I'm not always. However, it does make a difference. The energy that we put out there actually impacts the entire planet. So just remember that, another sense of self-responsibility to who you are being and choosing to be. It doesn't mean you have to do amazing things. Just your state of being, just sitting at home, being in a state of love, adds positivity to this planet. Just keep that in mind, okay? Keep that in mind, because I keep reminding myself. And may your inner voice be the kindest voice that you know. I think that matters so much. Self-talk can be poison, or it can be beautiful. You know, it could add joy to our lives or misery. Again, things that I'm telling myself, because they're things I'm still working on. So be kindly to yourself. Make your voice the kindest voice that you hear every single day to you. I think that makes a difference. All right. Did I lose Nicole? No, she's not on yet. I don't hear her. I hope you folks are on. All right. Then I'll give another one until I hear Nicole. 2, compassion. Compassion for others is an act of self-love and understanding, right? Because, again, you treat others how you see yourself and treat yourself. So if you're compassionate and understanding, it means that you're that way for yourself as well. I think it's a beautiful way to be. And do things for people because of who they are or what they do in return. Oh, sorry. Do things for people not because of who they are or what they do for you in return, but just because of who you are. I've always said that, like, you know, oh, they didn't give me a gift. Well, I don't care. I'm choosing to give them a gift. They aren't nice to me. Well, I don't care. I'm choosing to be nice. You know, you're responsible for yourself, not others. So do to others what it is you would do because of who you are.